And I was taken to the place where Moses has shown the glory of God, the goodness of God. And it says that they placed him. He was placed inside of a cleft of a rock. He was placed there. Well, that was the representation of being placed inside the rock, Jesus. That if you're looking for the goodness of God, if you're looking for the glory of God, if you're looking for the sweetness of God, that place of manifest glory that we're longing for, that we're searching for, there is only one place. Yeah. There is only one place that you're going to find that. There is only one place where that goodness resides, and it's inside, in Him. In Jesus, in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness, for your sweetness. You know, the interesting thing about honey is it has no shelf life. There's a longevity that you cannot exceed. The sweetness of God goes further and farther than time itself. Father, we just receive of that sweetness that you're pouring out here. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. That sweet honey touching your people. That sweet presence touching your people. Your loving kindness coming upon your people. Your presence coming upon your people. Your goodness coming upon your people. That we would step into that place of rest, the place that you've authored for us of sweetness, of goodness, far past just what the natural world could offer to us. But we move into that place of your overwhelming kindness. Father, we ask tonight that in your word, as it goes forth, that you would show us your glory. Show us your glory. You know, they say that when Moses was in that place, that he actually, that is when he saw the first five books of the Bible. That it was all downloaded to him there in that place. So, Father, I ask for that tonight, the divine revelation of your word. Father, I just pray over every person in here, whether they're staying here or going into you. Father, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation operating tonight. Father, I pray over the hearts of your people that they're ready to receive your word. And Father, I thank you for the divine help that is the Holy Spirit that will come in and make it alive on the inside of them. That the word becomes alive on the inside of them. That their eyes are opened in a new way. Father, your word promises in that scripture that our eyes would be illuminated. That a light would come on in that area that they've been looking, that they've been searching. That a light would come on for them. That they would see the life-giving word of your scripture, of your goodness. Poured out on them today. Father, we thank you for your scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. You know, when you're naturally hungry, it's because you haven't eaten. But when you are spiritually hungry, it's because you have consistently eaten. When you are hungry for the word, it's because you've begun to partake and you don't want to stop. There's something so great. Now there is a hunger on the inside of every person for Jesus, whether they know it or not. He's the only one that's going to satisfy. But that's why when you begin to eat the scripture that you realize this isn't just words on a page. The word of God is a person. That you're becoming acquainted with a third of the Godhead by reading the scripture. Father, I thank you for that tonight. Now, before I get too far, I don't want to jump off before our pastors will be coming home on Friday. And so I want to, they are back in Rome today. So I just want to pray over them before I get too deep into the word. And so, Father, I just thank you for Pastor Rox and Pastor Deb. Father, I thank you that we are blessed with the best. Father, I thank you that they are protected as they travel. I thank you, Lord, for your supernatural protection over them. I thank you for divine favor for them everywhere that they go, everyone they come in contact with. Father, I thank you that their food is blessed. I thank you that their drink is blessed. I thank you that their travel is blessed. Father, we pray over their flights to into Dallas and then into Austin. Father, that they're on time, they're safe, they're protected. Father, we thank you that your divine protection travels over them. And Father, we thank you for those that are traveling out to Rome this week. We actually have two separate groups traveling out. Father, we thank you for their protection. We pray over their flights, their travel. Father, we thank you that they find favor with the airlines. And Father, we thank you that they're on time every time in Jesus' name. We call for no delays in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for supernatural protection as they go. And Father, for anyone else who's traveling, we call these same things in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. So I wanted to, yesterday during prayer, the Holy Spirit really started speaking to us, and he was pretty serious about using our words. And so how fitting that today is the day that we're celebrating the Declaration of Independence. It is tomorrow. That is the 4th of July, but today we're celebrating. And so he was speaking very strongly and very seriously about our words. And that as our position in the body of Christ, the way that we use our words. And so, he posed this question. Would you be okay if every one of the words you have spoken came to pass? And it reminded me of a teaching that I heard by Terry Savelle Foy. And she said at the end of every sentence, just say, and that's exactly how I want it. I can't ever lose weight, and that's exactly how I want it. I never can stop eating these donuts, and it's exactly how I want it. I can never stop eating these donuts, and I never gain an ounce, and that is exactly how I want it. Glory to God. But seriously, I mean, really, she actually says something along the lines of, I can eat as many cupcakes as I want to, and it has no adverse effects to me. That's not her exact words, but that's close to what she says about cupcakes, because she loves cupcakes. But that took me to a place where it was pretty intense. I could feel the seriousness of the heart of the Father when we were in that place, because we are the body of Christ. It really takes things to another level when you start talking about every word that comes out of your mouth. And especially, I'm going to skip that. But what he is conveying in those times of prayer, teaching, and emphasizing is that what he was conveying was that we're in a constant state of training of our spirit. We're in a constant state of training for our spirit. So in the same way with our physical bodies, I've done so many things to lose weight, right? I've done so many things to get myself in better physical shape. But I can tell you the thing that always works is consistency. Regardless of which method it is, the method that works the best is the one you're consistent on. And so it's important for you to find what the Holy Ghost is telling you to do in those means, whatever that may be, but the one that's going to work the best is the one you're consistent on. And so if we are constantly training, if we're constantly disciplined, if we're constantly growing, it's going to be because we're inconsistent in what we're doing. So are we saying the same things? Are we saying the same things in conversation as we are when we're confessing? You know, I remember a time when I would do really great from Monday morning until about Friday when work got out. And then as soon as I got home from work, from that moment, Friday dinner, till the next Monday morning, I trashed all of the work I had done all week long because I wanted pizza and donuts and cookies and brownies and fast food and chicken wings and all of the things. And it was never just one thing. It was all of the things. And so I trashed all the work I'd done all week long because I wasn't consistent through my lifestyle. And so I believe this is what he was reiterating to us is are we training consistently all the time? Or do we get around certain things? Do we get around certain people? Do we get in certain environments? Do we go to certain places and then all of a sudden our consistency falls out the window? I'm just talking about me and my poor eating, guys. That's it. That's all I'm talking about here. Actually, my eating is not poor at all. It has been really great for 3 weeks. Praise the Lord. But faith isn't focused on what's easy, right? We've said this over and over. Faith isn't focused on what's easy. Faith is focused on results. And so if you want results, you're going to have to be consistent even when it's difficult. And so I'm not going to keep you here all night, but I want to spend some time talking about our words. And not that I'm telling you anything maybe that you've never heard before. But if you do 20 more push-ups today, it's going to make you stronger. So in the consistency of hearing and the consistency of knowing and the consistency of walks. Amen? All right, so let's go to Job 22. This has been a very familiar scripture for the last four times that we really believe the Lord is trying to work some things out in us. So Job 22:28, shall be established for you in the light of God's favor. So the thing I want to get over to you today is a declaration is. So let's break down what if you go back and you look at the Hebrew place right here. That word means both of those things right there. I like that it says in there that it was a day of deliverance. It was a day of deliverance. Why is that so important? Because on that day, they were celebrating their declaration, not the fruit of what they had declared yet being visible. You see, it was several years later before they had even received independence completely. King George finally acknowledged America's independence in 1782. And then the final British soldiers didn't even leave until 1783. So it was declared, but not yet seen in the manifest natural realm. But when they made their declaration, they were fully persuaded. You could hear, why did I read something that sounded so gory, if you will, so brutal. Why? Because they were so persuaded that they were willing to give their life for how much they believed what they had said. They were so serious about it that it didn't matter what the outside was going to do. They were persuaded that what I have declared, I believe, will come to pass. And so when they did this, then that they were independent from Great Britain and that their patriotic efforts were heaven-directed. I thought that that was so important. I believe that when they made that declaration, that it wasn't based only on their own self-thought. They didn't come up with this idea itself. I believe it was heaven-directed. I believe that God had downloaded a plan to them of how they were going to be one nation with one God. that there was a download to them and they were persuaded that this plan that God has called me to, I will participate in. I will be a part of. I will move forward in this thing. And so it says in the very beginning of the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. If you follow David Barton and his son, which is escaping Timothy. Thank you. I literally just watched a video of them today. I should have remembered that. But if you watch them, they'll tell you, they'll go through the sightings of how many times scripture is referenced in our founding documents. These men were being moved by a plan of God. These men were being moved by downloads from heaven. So when you break down that scripture that we talked about, that it's a cutting away from, right? That it's a moving away from. They made the decision clear that they weren't going to go back to the way of life they had been living. You see, when we're making a decision and we're declaring something, it should be at that point that we've made the decision, we're moving away from what we were experiencing, and we have now declared this is the truth in our life. This is the way to which we're going. When you make a decision for Christ, you are saying, at this point in time, I have made a decision for Christ. I am receiving Him as my born-again believer. I believe in my heart. I speak with my mouth. I am turning away from that way of life, and I am now moving forward with Christ. There is a decision, a moving forward, a cutting away from the former thing and grabbing a hold to the thing that you have now declared is true in your life. So this point of decision and declaration is severing you from that old way of thinking. A true declaration should be the implanted in you. Glory to God. Of a rhema word of God placed in your heart and declared from your mouth. We see this in Luke chapter 1. The word of God is spoken over Mary. She takes that rhema word from God and it is received. It is conceived on the inside of her. We know that according to verse 45, am I jumping ahead of myself? Hopefully not. I have so much going on at the same time. But according to verse 45 in that same scripture, it says, you have believed every word spoken to you from the Lord. So we know that she believed it. If you turn just a little bit further, she's then declaring a song over what God has done in her life. And then she's also acting on the revelation she's received. You see, she receives the seed of the word. She receives that word coming alive on the inside of her. She believes it in her heart. She's fully persuaded that it's true. And then she speaks it out of her mouth and begins to walk out and obey the word she had revelation of. A rhema, a rhema is a specific word made alive to you from the scriptures about Jesus and what he has done for you. It is made alive to you from the scriptures about Jesus and what he's done for you. Rick Renner says it like this. A specific quickened word from the scriptures placed into our hearts and hands by Holy Spirit. So it's like when I was reading that story in Mark chapter 9 about the boy who had epilepsy. I was reading through that entire story. There's a whole lot there, and five words came alive to me. What do you mean if? that one segment. At that time, the opportunity was given. This has made alive to me. This is what's clear to me. This is what's jumping off the page to me. So I now receive it as seed of word that's been made alive, and I have opportunity to respond and use it to act and create fruit in my life. But it's up to me whether or not I'm going to receive that word. I'm going to receive and accept the word. I'm going to speak the word, and I'm going to use it in my life. You see, God is offering you something from the word of God, a scripture from the word of God that he is making alive to you for the situation that you're walking through right now. And when that comes alive on the inside of you, you receive it like the conception of a baby. It shouldn't just go there to die. It should go there to produce fruit in your life. It should go there to create in your life. It should go there that it has a work to be completed in your life. I'll do whatever you say. If that's where you want to go, we go there. Do you have Matthew 12? Let me grab my other Bible. 12:34. I wasn't going to go here. I actually was 12:33. Stand on my tiptoes. Matthew 12:33 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So I was going through, and literally word by word today, going through Matthew 12:36, because I heard someone who preached on this, and I don't want to repeat it if I don't have it researched for myself. So let me read you. 12:36 says, right, every idle word you'll be judged of. So there are so many things here that people have been taught about that. I heard they were going back and forth. I was more of a heathen than ever in any type of religion. We'll just say it like that. But they were talking about that they weren't allowed to say the word pregnant, that they were spelling different words out because they weren't allowed to say them. Like, they had all kinds of theories about this. But whatever the case may be, I want to read to you. If you go back and translate every Greek word within here, it says all, the whole of, every unemployed or barren word. That has been made alive to you regarding the scriptures that you utter and speak and declare will determine the profit and payoff concerning your plan in the day and at the time when the process of distinguishing and selecting is for a decision. So what it's saying to you then is not just you popping off running your mouth all the day long. No, God has offered you words to employ in your life. Will you choose to take them, or will you not choose to take them? You see, the Pharisees were those that studied and believed in both the written law of Jewish tradition and the oral law. They were well equipped with knowledge. They were well equipped with knowledge of the scripture. They were well equipped with the tradition that had been passed down. But they did not employ anything that they knew made alive to them by the truth of who Jesus was. They didn't take what the words that had been given to them to employ in their life and produce something with it. Instead, they allowed it all to be of mental assent. You see, you should take the words that are coming out of your mouth as a sensor to where your heart is at. Are you believing what you are saying? If you're constantly having to correct yourself on an item, can I just encourage you that it probably means you need to have more word in that area? If you're only being mindful of your words around certain people, can I encourage you, you probably need more word in that area. I want to go back to my initial statement about a declaration is more than just positive words. It's not just talking good. You see, power is only produced when you've decided to cut away the old thing, no longer agree with it, remove it, and attach to the thing which you believe. You see, when you're plugging in a battery, if I only plug in one cable, there's no power still. So if I'm only speaking, but there is no believing, if I'm only plugging in the black and not plugging in the red, then power is not being produced. So if I'm just allowing the words to come out of my mouth, that's a great start, but the power isn't produced until those things come into alignment together. And so it's about knowing, eating that word, having it alive on the inside of you. In the same way that if you are believing and not speaking, power is not being produced. It's not going to be produced in your life. It requires both parts for that to take place and to take power in your life. If you are consistently having to catch yourself on a certain topic, please go back and hear the word that he's preaching. It says in verse 34 in some of the translations that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's Matthew 12:34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It says in the Passion Translation in the notes that the Hebrew translation of this, I loved this when I read it. It said, truly the heart awakens and the mouth speaks. What your heart is awakened to, your mouth will speak. You will know that if you believe it in your heart, it's so easy to come out of your mouth. You are not going to hear me come against Jesus being the healer. I know it's true. And there's those things that you have on the inside of you that you are so persuaded in your heart. It is so alive in your heart that it is easy for it to come out of your mouth. And so our words are what are indicating the fruit of our life. And every word that we speak where that power is connected on both places, where it's alive on the inside and it's coming out of our mouth, the power is in that word itself to bring it to pass. That's what that rhema is. It's alive on the inside of you. You've been made aware. No, this is true for me. This is right for me. This is good for me. I believe that Jesus did do this. I do believe this about Jesus. It's like Jesus being the healer, Jesus being the provider. I believe this is true. I believe he paid for my healing. I believe that he paid for those things. And getting into that place where you are so persuaded. You see, it says in that scripture when Mary received the word from God, right? When she received the seed from God, it says that not one promise from God is empty of power. For nothing is impossible with God. Her conception of the word was her believing, receiving, accepting, and glorifying God and speaking it out of her mouth. And in that, the power was in the seed itself to create and come to pass. She didn't have to figure out how to reach inside of her womb and make a baby. She didn't have to figure out how to fashion legs. She didn't have to figure out how to fashion a body. No, the power was within that word that was seed to grow. Whatever is in the seed that you're sowing, whatever that word that is alive, there is power within it for the tree to come forth. You don't see a fruit tree struggling for fruit to come out from the seed that's produced. They don't I've never seen a tree do that. I've never seen a tree toil over whether or not they were created for the seed that was planted for them. Yet for some reason, we read the things that God says about us, and we try to make ourselves what He's already called us. We try to, I mean, that was the whole trick of the enemy in the garden. Do you want to become something you already are? Well, it doesn't sound quite as enticing when you say it like that. But it's the truth. They were created in the image of God. They were created in His likeness. If you go look at it, it's like a carbon copy. The exact replica. And He said, do you want to be like God? What He was really saying is, do you want to lose everything you have that's like God? But when we turn away from the seed that was given to us and try to produce fruit from words that didn't come from Him. You know, I mentioned to y'all, or to the thermostats the other day, we need to stop allowing our thinking to trump His sayings. His sayings should always be louder than our thinking. What He says about you should always trump your thoughts. Always. How do we do that? By getting into the Word. This is why confession is so important. Not because it's an earning or a working or achieving. No, it's because when you will continuously go into the Scripture, the Word of God has the opportunity to become alive to you. When you read it the first few times, maybe it's not yet the rhema quickened alive on the inside of you. But as you continue to dig into that Scripture, as you continue to read that Scripture, I encourage you, even maybe read it in a different way, in a different light, in a different translation. Go back and find the Greek. Go back and find the Hebrew. And this, I know I'm not the only parent in the room. How many of you have had the same conversation with your children over and over and over and over, and you tell them the same thing over and over and over, and then another voice says it, and it's like, hey mom, guess what I learned? Great. I've only been telling you for 17 years. Or our husbands. But the truth is, Lindsay Roberts and Brother Copeland, they have the same spiritual father. Yet when I read Lindsay Roberts' books, there were things that came alive to me that I had been hearing Brother Copeland preach for so long that I was like, oh my gosh, I totally get what he was saying now. It wasn't different. It was just new perspective, new light, new story, new filter, all kinds of different things. So that is why it's important to be repetitive. That's why it's important to be consistent. That's why it's important to confess the Word. Not because you're working to earn it. Not because if you say it 100 times, it's going to produce. No, because the whole concept is getting that Scripture, just like it says in John 15, to be alive, abiding, dwelling on the inside of you. And when it's alive, dwelling on the inside of you, you can ask anything and it will be done for you. Anything and it will be done for you. Because the only part that is required from us is to make sure that we are participating with Him. You see, none of this is going to come separate from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only one who brings revelation. But There are many ways that you can begin to feed on the word through ministers, through men and women of God, through reading the scripture itself, spending time with the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues. The Holy Spirit himself is the guide and the teacher. He's already been everywhere you need to be. He already knows everything that you have. He knows the word that's going how it's going to get to you to even quicken on the inside of you. But it's going to be a matter of you taking the time to spend with him, to spend with the word, to spend in what he's doing. And so when you're looking fresh, looking anew, then you're able to view in a different way what it is that he's provided for you. We were reading the scriptures yesterday, but I guess I had just read it the day before, but as I began to pray it out yesterday, I could just clearly see about the healing of Jesus Christ, about the healing he paid for us, but the stripes he took. And in one of the versions, it talks about that they were leather straps with metal and glass tied in them. And as I read the scripture, it became a visual, living picture. If you just see stripes on his back in word form only, the context of what he did to pay for that healing can be so nullified in our thinking. Now, we're talking about straps that had metal and glass attached to them, whipping him consistently until flesh peeled off his back, that you could see the bone. It said that he was marred beyond recognition. Get into the scripture like that. Be so aware that if he paid that much, how could I not receive what he paid for? When we hear the words that he's speaking in the scripture and we become intimate with them, that's when it becomes alive on the inside of us. That's when that seed comes and it becomes created for you, that you can then produce the fruit of that seed being planted in your life. And ultimately, that's everything that we're called to do in life. We are called to have the word of God come alive and walk it out. We have to receive the word that he has for us and speak his words. We are the body of Christ, right? The body of Christ. So, Miss Joy, I don't know why you were the one I saw when I wrote this, but you were. But if your body started like just slapping people and you were like, my mind is like, no, I'm not in that. But you just started flinging off, hitting people. I mean, you'd be kind of concerned about that, right? If you just started robbing grocery stores and you never thought about it in your head, you'd be kind of concerned about that. Right? If your body is doing something that doesn't align with your head, we would normally call that some form of illness. So let's line up with what the head's saying. Let's line up with what the head's telling us to do. Let's be who we say we are. Let's be the body of Christ. If we were standing in the position, truly standing in the position of the body of Christ, not just us in this room, but the church as a whole, if we were truly taking our place as the body of Christ in whom he's called us to be, seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, far above every principality, every power, if we were truly doing that, as the body, would our nation be where it is today? You see, God says in 2 Chronicles that it is to his people. His people are responsible for the nation. If we were in the place that we were called to be, if we were saying what we were supposed to be saying, if we were believing the word that he's given us to use as authority over our atmosphere and over our world, imagine how good it would be. And so I really had no intention of this being so. He was very serious with me when he said it during prayer yesterday. I knew that. I could feel it on the inside of you. You know what? And so I knew that there was a seriousness to it. But it's time for us to be serious about being who we're called to be. We want revival. We want people to be healed. We want people to be touched by miracles. We want people to experience the glory of God. We want people being set free. We want people being delivered. We want addiction to go. So it's time to walk the walk we've been talking the talk about. It's time for us to step into everything he's called us to be. And the thing is that really it goes back to the thing that I said on Sunday. The simplicity of loving Jesus. You see, it's not hard to be who he's called you to be. It's just calling for you choosing to be that person and not just trying to do something to achieve it. That we would be the body of Christ. That we would see ourselves that way. That when we would come in contact with someone else. When we would come up against someone else. That we would remember who we are, what he's done, and therefore what we have to give. You see, it said that he came as the light of the world. Well, the light of the world was actually the place on the, a candle called a menorah. I was like, just keep doing this. Eventually someone will get it. Well, the light of the world was the candle at the end, the servant candle that's used to light all the others of the world. We weren't called into this world to just take. Now, we get really blessed along the way. Really blessed along the way. But we've been given an opportunity to be one of those candles that he's lit to continue to do what he does. Amen? So let us be those people. Let us decree what we want, not what we see. Let the words out of our mouth be what we mean. Mean what we say and say what we mean. Amen? And so I just want to say a few words over our nation since we are celebrating the 4th of July. Glory to God. Okay, just me and Jesse are excited about it. Woo! Praise the Lord. So we're going to declare for a nation of revival. I got this for our prayer meetings. I got a couple of different ones, but this is Daily Decrees for Government and Nations by Brenda Kuhneman. It's really good. A nation of revival. We declare the United States of America shall experience revival. We speak that there shall be an awakening that shall blanket this land. We call upon the Lord of Heaven's armies to turn the hearts of men away from evil and toward righteousness. We speak that there shall be a move of God that shall permeate society, our cities, and our governments. We declare that the powers of evil are bound from their wicked agenda to promote moral decay, violence, and sin. We decree there shall be a return to the house of God, and families shall once again call upon the name of the Lord. We say there shall be a revival of the Holy Spirit's power that shall bring deliverance, healing, and salvation. We decree that America is a nation of revival. And we declare America shall be saved. Father, we thank you for this great nation that you've called us to. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing that is on her. Father, we thank you for all that you've called us to, that you've seen us, you've known us, and you've called us to this place. Father, I thank you that the word is coming alive on the inside of your people. That there is scripture coming alive on the inside of them. That who you have called them to be, even the words that are written about them in their book of destiny is coming alive on the inside of them today. That they believe they are who. And Father, we thank you that we stand into the place that you've called us to be. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Opening doors of provision, that places where the enemy has had it bound up, held up, kept up, that they are flowing again in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the free flowing of provision of your people, Father, in every way, financially, in resources, in people, and whatever provision is necessary for the vision you've placed on their life. Father, I thank you for the increase, the overflow that you're calling to them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for an increase of anointing and an increase of skill. I thank you, Lord, for an increase of hunger for your word in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for an increase of your spirit to flow freely through them, that they open those gates, that they let the places you've called them to flow freely in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for supernatural recovery in Jesus' name. Supernatural recovery. Father, I thank you for supernatural recovery. It's almost as if something was lost and it is completely regained back to you. Father, I thank you for that. I take it for that. Yes, Lord. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for the supernatural recovery of things, of items, of people, of places. Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you are the God of good gifts. Good gifts. Good gifts for your people. You are the God of good gifts for your people. And we receive that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. We seal the word with your blood in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All of the Bibles. I just want to read one scripture. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And so I want to speak this scripture over you. And not that I couldn't quote it, but put my eyes on it. Eat it. Retain it. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich to accumulate or to grow richness. You have the blessing. You have the blessing. Galatians 3:13 says that the blessing belongs to you. So if the blessing belongs to you, that means that it is working for you. It is working for you right now. It is working, knocking on people's hearts, on their minds, on their doors. It is making people see you favorably. It's causing decisions to go in your direction. It has people's your name in people's mouth to bless you. The blessing is active and working for you. It's active and working for you right now. Father, we take that in each and every situation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Brothers, if you would receive, and I will pray as you're receiving. Father, we thank you for every tither and every giver. We thank you, Lord, that the windows of heaven are open unto them, that the devourer is rebuked, and nations call Victory Church blessed. Nations call Victory Church blessed. We are a local church with a global calling. A local church with a global calling. Amen. If you'd like to give by text message, you can text VCHL to 73256. Click the link and follow for the additional prompts. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray over the bodies of our people, and Father, I thank you that they are blessed. I thank you that strength comes to their bones. I thank you, Lord, for strength to their bodies in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the light and life of the Zoe life of God flooding through them. Supernatural energy, supernatural restoration, a supernatural renewing in Jesus' name and refreshing. And we thank you for it, Lord. Father, we thank you that we are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. And everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors.